Why was Gimli allowed to travel to the Undying Lands? That's just for the elves, surely, and the Ringbearers as a special dispensation. But why was Gimli, a dwarf, allowed there? Hi everyone, this is Robert. Welcome to In Deep Geek. On this channel, we cover The Lord of the Rings in nerdy detail, as well as A Song of Ice and Fire, The Witcher, and more. Welcome. In a previous video, we looked at how Valinor and the Undying Lands were for the elves and other immortals, and others, specifically the Numenoreans, but also other mortals like other humans, dwarves, hobbits, and so on, were banned. It wasn't about withholding good things from them, it wasn't for them. They were made for Middle-earth. Living in the Undying Lands would burn them out like moths close to too bright a flame, as Tolkien said. We noted then that there were some exceptions, most notably the Ringbearers, Bilbo, Frodo and Sam. That seems fair. Their lives would already be stretched by the Ring's power, and the peace they would find there would be an admirable reward for their sacrifices and fortitude. But in Appendix B to The Lord of the Rings, we read this, about something that happened 120 years or more after the destruction of the Ring. Then Legolas built a grey ship in Ithilien, and sailed down Anduin and so over sea. And with him, it is said, went Gimli the dwarf. And when that ship passed, an end was come in the Middle-earth of the Fellowship of the Ring. So Gimli also went to the Undying Lands. We get a bit more detail in Appendix A. We have heard tell that Legolas took Gimli, Gloin's son, with him, because of their great friendship, greater than any that has been between elf and dwarf. If this is true, then it is strange indeed that a dwarf should be willing to leave Middle-earth for any love, or that the Eldar should receive him, or that the Lords of the West should permit it. But it is said that Gimli went also out of desire to see again the beauty of Galadriel, and it may be that she, being mighty among the Eldar, obtained this grace for him. More cannot be said of this matter. So, what's going on? Well, we should probably start by noting that both of these accounts equivocate a little bit on whether it actually happened. Appendix B says that it is said that Gimli went with Legolas, and Appendix A that we have heard tell that Gimli went with him, and that if so, it is strange indeed. Quite. As a reminder, it was Tolkien's writing conceit that he wasn't so much writing an omniscient, perfect account of what happened, but instead picking through ancient documents written by others and translating them for us. So the editorial comment that it is strange indeed that this might happen is not from Tolkien, though he clearly did think it an oddity, but in-world from the writers of those appendices, the latest editors of which we know are the Gondorians. There's a whole rabbit hole there if you want it, I did a video on it, but for our purposes it's probably enough to say that Tolkien deliberately added in a degree of uncertainty here. We should also note that this isn't a one-way thing. The curiosity here isn't just that a dwarf should be allowed to enter, it's also that a dwarf would want to go in the first place. Dwarves love Middle-earth, they love mining and crafting and deep caverns, so why would Gimli want to go? We'll come back to that. Thankfully, Tolkien did address this in one of his letters, letter 154. He says this, "But in this story, it is supposed that there may be certain rare exceptions or accommodations. Legitimately supposed, there always seem to be exceptions. And so certain mortals who have played some great part in elvish affairs may pass with the elves to Elvenholm. Thus Frodo, by the express gift of Arwen, and Bilbo, and eventually Sam, as adumbrated by Frodo. And as a unique exception, Gimli the dwarf, as friend of Legolas and servant of Galadriel." So Gimli was, in Tolkien's words, a unique exception. So no other random dwarves or hobbits or humans. And it was because of his friendship with Legolas and role as servant, in inverted commas, of Galadriel. Let's look at those two things now and why they might qualify Gimli for that honour. His friendship with Legolas wasn't just a normal friendship. It was breaking a millennia-old enmity between two races. We don't have time to go into all the ins and outs of that here, but both sides felt aggrieved, and long-lived and grudge-holding as they were, it festered. What we saw in The Hobbit was not just an isolated incident. Generation after generation of dwarves and the same unchanging elves kept up the anger and distrust. Gimli and Legolas striking up a friendship like that was more than unexpected. It was dynamic shifting. And given their respective positions of influence in their communities, it meant that when the elves and dwarves parted company finally with the elves sailing west, it wasn't as enemies everywhere. An age-old rift had been repaired by Gimli and Legolas, just in time. Gimli becoming a servant of Galadriel is another unexpected twist to the story. You'll remember that instead of something boringly practical as a gift from Galadriel, he asks for a single strand of her hair, or rather says that it is his desire, not that he is even asking for it. Clearly moved by his courtesy, she gives him three and asks what he would do with the gift. He says, "Treasure it, lady, in memory of your words to me at our first meeting, and if ever I return to the smithies of my home, it shall be set in imperishable crystal to be an heirloom of my house and a pledge of goodwill between the mountain and the wood until the end of days." This has echoes of a gallant knight pledging chaste service to a queen or great lady in some Arthurian romance story, and you can be sure that Tolkien knew that, hence him referring to Gimli as Galadriel's servant. Gimli would defend her name and honour wherever he went. But also, we have again that idea that Gimli is playing his important and proactive, unexpected role in healing the rift between elves and dwarves. He doesn't intend those strands to be just a meaningful gift for him, but for future generations too. He would set them in imperishable crystal to be an heirloom for his descendants, so that they too would hold firm to a pledge of goodwill between elves and dwarves. He is basically saying that as far as he is concerned, the ancient rift between him and his descendants and the elves is now over. He has ended it. So Gimli's friendship with Legolas and service to Galadriel both play the same role in this context. He, more than any other dwarf, or I would argue elf, in thousands of years, has brought elves and dwarves back together. Certainly worthy of Tolkien's description of playing some great part in elvish affairs. He earned his reward from the elves' perspective. And if you are worrying whether Gimli going there would burn him out like that moth with the too bright flame, it's clear that Legolas only took Gimli there at the very end of his days. His reward was not a long life in Valinor, but a chance to see the elven home, spend the last moments of his life with his best friend, and meet Galadriel one final time. And personally, I think he deserves all that. I've said this before, but of all the Fellowship, Gimli is the one who goes on the greatest character journey. He may not have shouted out, "Never trust an elf," in the books, but that can't have been far off where he was to start with, travelling with the son of the man who had unjustly imprisoned his father and tried to steal his people's wealth. He sees the tomb of his beloved cousin, reads about his terrible end, barely has time to drink in the loss before being singled out as untrustworthy and unwelcome in Lothlorien by Celeborn, facing up to the evils he had been taught about Fangorn Forest, shifting his perspective and seeing the beauty there as well, and somehow, through all this, forging a close friendship with Legolas and becoming the devoted servant of Galadriel, breaking down millennia of distrust. For the representative of a race of famously stubborn characters, his transformation to the champion of elf-dwarf friendship is astonishing. And all this is shown in the fact that Gimli wants to go with Legolas. Dwarves shouldn't want to leave Middle-earth, but Gimli was different. So great was their friendship that he wanted to see the places Legolas loved and pined for, and that included Elvenhome. And remember, Legolas first got the sea longing during The Lord of the Rings. He ached to travel west, but he waited 120 or more years so he could spend that time with Gimli in Middle-earth. And then, as Gimli's end neared, they could travel together for a final time. This was a friendship for the ages. If anyone ever deserved that final blessing, it was Gimli. And I suspect the Valar were pleased to grant the honour for the sakes of Legolas and Galadriel. Gimli, the last but by no means the least of the non-elves to travel to Valinor. If you'd like to see more videos like this, diving deep into the lore of the Lord of the Rings, there's a link appearing now on the left of your screen. Or to support this channel, thank you, there's a link appearing now on the right of your screen. That's all for this time. Thanks for watching. I'll see you again soon.